Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Michael Reid Show, brought to you by Airgrid, managing and planning the national grid so that everyone has electricity when and where they need it.
Monday morning, the 19th of December. Good morning. With much debate and discussion from now till 11 a.m, this is Michael Reid on LMFM.
As I finish this term in office, I would like most of all to thank my wife Mary and our family, Micheál, Ava and Killian, for their unfailing advice, support and encouragement, and the occasional criticism they have given me, and particularly Mary, who has always tried to keep me on time throughout my life.
Saturday brought with it a change in government, with Micheál Martin stepping down as Taoiseach.
I would like to say thank you to the members of the Dáil. We've had many very robust exchanges here, but I have never ceased to be honoured to be a member of one of the democratic world's oldest parliamentary chambers. We have much work ahead of us for the rest of this Dáil term. I look forward to this and to continue our service on behalf of the Irish people.
The King is dead. Long live the King.
I've informed the President of my nomination as Taoiseach, and he's appointed me accordingly.
Leo Varadkar becomes Ireland's Taoiseach for the second time.
Ireland must once again become a place where it's possible to dream. To dream of home ownership, to dream of a better life, to dream of a better Ireland. And more importantly, a place where those dreams can be realised.
The new Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, pledging to make dreams come true for Irish people.
Throughout our history, our greatest resource has been our people. So let's give everyone a fair chance. Let's make sure that when it comes to the best start in life, the chance to own a home, the opportunity to achieve something meaningful, that we're making it possible to dream big dreams and to make them a reality.
Fine words spoken well. That's the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, speaking in his capacity as Taoiseach for the second time. Let's go to our political correspondent, Sean Devoe, who's on the line. A very good morning to you, Sean, and thanks for joining us. I say, we heard lots of aspiration in the Taoiseach's speech, but he'll have his work cut out for him, won't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think Leo Varadkar very much set out a stall that he is back, obviously, as Taoiseach, as you mentioned, is the second time that he is going to be in the term of office. And I think we're seeing probably a different Varadkar, one who maybe has a bit more knowledge under his belt than he did last time. He's spoken about actually taking a lot of learnings from working with Micheál Martin and working from the senior statesman, if you like, over the last few years, into how things work and how things maybe didn't work in his last government and can be approved this time, and very much set out some pretty heady aspirations for the last 2 years or so of this government being left out. But as you say, a lot of work is ahead. Housing is going to be one of the key issues, and we know things are probably worse for people who are trying to buy a house at the minute than they were when this government took office. If you look at the average national house prices from June 2020 to September 22, they've gone up about 60 grand. If you look at the average national rent between June of 2020 when the government took office and November 22, it's about €300, a little bit less than €300 more expensive nationally. And then obviously the Dublin figures are slightly less than that, broadly in line. So fixing that is going to be a huge challenge. There is going to be a huge focus on climate as well, with the likes of the revised climate action bill coming before the cabinet this Wednesday, and other areas of delivery around the likes of childcare. He specifically said he wanted Ireland to be the best country in Europe in which to be a child, and there's a huge amount of work that has to go on there, particularly as we're going to see roughly 3,000 children living in homelessness this Christmas and over the next few days spending Christmas in homeless and emergency accommodation. So a lot of heady aspirations, a bit of an idea where he wants to take his administration, but a big job of work as well.
A new government, minimal change. Maybe we'll talk about some of the changes that were announced over the weekend a little bit more in a minute, but can we fast forward to Wednesday when there'll be a change in ministers of state? I think there'll be a lot of interest in this locally, and particularly at the idea that Thomas Byrne will lose his position as the Minister for European Affairs. What's going to happen there, and what will Thomas Byrne's fate be, do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one again. How much shuffling around are they going to do this time? There wasn't obviously huge amount in the senior cabinet ranks. It looks as though the majority of the changes are going to come within Sinn Féin, the likes of Frankie Sheehan, Colin Brophy and Stephen Madigan in particular sort of tipped for demotion, and then others like Neil Richmond or Jennifer Carroll McNeil perhaps tipped for promotion into the junior ministerial ranks. Seems to be less change within Fianna Fáil. In relation specifically to Thomas Byrne, I know the minister hadn't been informed of anything ahead of the cabinet reshuffle. Very few of the junior ministers, and in fact, none of the senior ministers had been informed of anything. It was sort of comical on Saturday morning when most of them knew the speculation was that they would be staying put, but were still going around and, you know, reading everything into a sidelong look that Micheál Martin gave them on a meeting a few days before, and every little small bit of body language trying to figure out. So in terms of the juniors, they don't know yet. Now, typically what has been the trend over the last few years is that the European Affairs Minister, the post that is occupied by Thomas Byrne, has gone to the party of the Taoiseach. You had Helen McEntee obviously there when Leo Varadkar was running into European councils on the red carpet, and then Thomas Byrne for Fianna Fáil. So there is speculation that that role will go back to Fine Gael, and you could see the likes of Neil Richmond move back into it, but obviously that would potentially open up at junior ministerial ranks on the Fine Gael side, so something perhaps in the Department of Education, the Department of Special Education, if Stephen Madigan does in fact get dropped, as is speculated, that might be somewhere that Thomas Byrne is comfortable, having been a former education spokesperson within Fianna Fáil. Also the drugs policy in the Department of Health, the drugs portfolio seems potentially to be coming up, and it's likely that Anne Rabbitt, who is the junior minister for Fianna Fáil, one of the junior ministers for Fianna Fáil in the Health Department, is now going to be moving over to the Department of Children with the disability roles changing hands there as part of a mini reshuffle. So maybe there is a space in health for him. There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of call within Fianna Fáil for a massive reshuffle of the junior ministers. And remember, Micheál Martin here is somebody who is now taking over into the Department of Foreign Affairs, potentially is going to have a challenge to his leadership over the next 2 years. Mm. And is probably pretty unlikely to want to make enemies at this point. So I think maybe a change of jobs will be on the cards for Thomas Byrne, but I haven't heard anything to say that he might be dropped entirely.
Okay, I do believe that Damien English will stay in Enterprise with a new senior minister, Simon Coveney.
I think quite possibly. Look, Damien English has been quite heavily involved in things like the tech jobs that have been going over the last while, or have been rumoured to be going over the next while, and is well liked within Fine Gael. He's a good performer in the media and always does go to bat for them whenever they need someone to go to the bat for them, be it on radio or on television nationally as well. So again, Damien English seems to be fairly well into the junior ministerial ranks. The speculation is less over whether he will be dropped, sort of the same as Thomas Byrne, as to whether a move might be on the cards, and that really depends how much the other anchor wants to reshuffle the pack overall.
Okay. What about Simon Coveney? How is the minister feeling about his move?
I think privately he'll be disappointed, because obviously he's really bought into the foreign affairs brief over the last 2 years. He's been one of the foremost voices in the Irish and the UK media when it came to Brexit. And I think most people think that when it came to Brexit, he performed particularly well over the last few years, would have built up a lot of contacts in the UN as well through his role of chairing and both appearing at the UN Security Council, and seems to have a genuine love for the job. I mean, it is a massive brief, particularly in the last few years, given everything that's been going on. When you look at events in China, you look at events in Iran, you take in Brexit, you take in the different changes of administration in the United States and the different politics in Europe, which is not, you know, we maybe kind of take that for granted, but the likes of the shift over power in Germany and the new coalition there, but also in Italy, where you have a sort of what was a quite right-wing candidate in Meloni, who is now maybe moving a bit towards the centre, and he also got far right rising in the likes of France and issues in Hungary as well. So he is someone who's bought into that brief quite a lot, but when a Taoiseach says he wants it, he didn't really have a huge amount of choice in the issue. So Enterprise is a fairly heavyweight brief, but as evidenced by the fact that Leo Varadkar held it previously, and it's going to be a particularly interesting brief over the next few years as the economy seems to be taking a downturn. So I think as far as landing spots, he'll take it, but I would have preferred to stay in Foreign Affairs, I imagine.
Okay, well, as you say, former Taoiseach, now Taoiseach Micheál Martin, wanted it. I take it he has plans.
Yeah, well, this is all the speculation now and a buzz about Micheál Martin's future. Look, he's always loved being on the international stage. I was with him in Brussels this week for the European Council, and that is somewhere he feels very much at home. He's a former Foreign Affairs Minister as well and would have attended the European Council in that structure as well before it became just the leaders that went to it. So he's very, very comfortable on the world stage, has a huge interest in what's happening on the world stage. I mean, in fairness to him, he was talking months before Ukraine was invaded. He was raising concerns about Russia potentially invading this year, also about the Horn of Africa and the food crisis that was going on there, the famine crisis that's been made worse by the lack of supply of grain coming out of Ukraine. So he has a huge interest in the job and feels really comfortable there. And then the political speculation comes, well, does he see his future in Brussels rather than domestically? And is this perhaps a priming the run for being Ireland's European Commissioner in 2024, or perhaps even seeking a higher office and maybe running for the likes of the European Commission presidency when that comes up in 2024 as well around the European election? So we asked him that, does your future lie in Brussels? And he said very much he hasn't thought about it at this stage and everything is domestic. But of course, he has to say that until it's not.
Or the Phoenix Park?
Potentially, again, asked about that and said that he at the moment is not giving that any sort of consideration at all, but I'd imagine it's something he would have to think about in the future, as most of the former party leaders will have, Enda Kenny included. You know, they do think about these things, but will never say so privately. And I think, knowing Micheál Martin, he's someone who would probably assess the field first. But remember, Micheál Martin's only 63, you know, he's not an old man as such when it comes to his political career, and he does love the day-to-day busyness of politics. That would make me think perhaps a European Union role as opposed to the more sedate politics of the park might suit him. But you look, we don't know. All speculation at this stage.
Okay, Helen McEntee is on maternity leave, as I'm sure everyone is aware, and the outgoing minister was named as a new member of the cabinet, or a member of the new cabinet, without a portfolio, but it's expected, I think, that she will return to the role of Minister for Justice. Were you surprised that the interim relationship interim situation has changed, that's been taken from Heather Humphreys now and gone to Simon Harris? Is there any reason for that?
Well, the reason they're giving is essentially that Heather Humphreys has such a wide brief and is going to have such a busy year in 2023 that they felt they couldn't really land her with it for another 6 months. She's already running two departments, in Rural Affairs and in Social Protection. And on the Social Protection front, there's a huge amount of legislation coming down the line when it comes to, you know, basic minimum wage, moving towards a living wage. That also crossing over with the Department of Enterprise now with Simon Coveney, but also things like auto-enrollment, this auto-enrollment pension scheme, which has come in from the 1st of January in 2024. Or changing the social welfare system to make it that if you are earning a higher wage and you lose your job, you're paid a higher job seeker's allowance while you seek a job, and other legislation that they have coming down the line. So what they were briefly behind the scenes is, look, this is not in any way a demotion for Heather Humphreys. She obviously filled in injustice very ably for 6 months during Hannah McEntee's first set of maternity leave. But she has a huge amount of work on her plate between everything else going on, and that maybe moving it over to higher education, which is a quieter brief by its very nature for the 6 months, would be something that would be advisable. And I don't think there'll be too much complaints, to be honest with you, from Heather Humphreys' camp as well, because speaking to them, while obviously it is an honour and a prestige to hold the justice brief, it is an incredibly busy one. And those three departments all vying for time and attention for their minister was quite a headache. So that has been cleared up. I think they'll actually privately welcome.
OK, I heard somebody quote the Who's won't get fooled again, meet the new boss, same as the old boss line specifically. And we've another seat-changing experience in finance. Michael McGrath now the Minister for Finance, and Pascal Donoghue going to public expenditure. But with that change comes a new portfolio as such of NDP delivery. Does that mean there's going to be more building in the country?
I think it's less about more building. Well, hopefully there will be more building. I think we all keep fingers crossed. But what it was briefed as essentially is that we do not do big infrastructure products projects in this country particularly well. You have to look at the National Children's Hospital. You look at almost any motorway that we've ever built, which is quite often over budget. You look at housing. You look at other things. The metro coming down the line, which has been delayed, talked about since the 1980s, and even when it opens, there's only going to be one line. And when you get a big project like this, the first thing everyone thinks is, well, it's going to cost double whatever they say. And there is a feeling that that absolutely needs to be brought back into control. It is a complete waste of taxpayers' money. And that if they had projects running to budget, there is so much more you could do, be it housing, be it public transport, be it the changes in infrastructure we're going to need towards climate change and building offshore wind energy. So it very much, the job has been given to Pascal Donoghue to say, look, get a handle on this, whatever the issues are, if they're with tendering, as seems to be the problem with the children's hospital, or whatever fork in the road they are at, stamp them out to as much degree as possible, because there is a bit of an economic downturn coming. We're going to need every cent. And again, like I say, you can just do more with less if we actually spend to plan.
Very good. All right, Sean, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you indeed for joining us this morning to talk us through some of those minimal changes that happened over the weekend. That's our political correspondent, Sean Defoe.
1800 658.
The Michael Reid Show, brought to you by Airgrid, managing and planning the national grid so that everyone has electricity when and where they need it.
We're living in an age of emergencies. Climate, the war in Ukraine, housing, the cost of living, child poverty. There are also threats to the economy and employment, and to peace and partnership on our island. We're facing deep political and social crises, and they affect every community in our country. So we need to treat each of them as a national emergency and deploy the full resources of the state, the full machinery of government, to make an immediate and real difference. And that's what we're committed to do as a government. When the life of our nation was in peril, we joined together to protect each other. Today, the hopes and dreams of our nation depend on us fixing the problems we face. To do so, we need to be all out, to be radical or redundant.
On Becoming Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar spoke about many of the challenges that lie ahead for this new government.
There are a number of pressing challenges that will define the rest of our term in office. First among these is housing. We must do whatever it takes to solve this social crisis and reverse the trend of rising homelessness and falling home ownership. We must apply the same spirit of determination, action and immediacy that we saw during the pandemic to this great challenge of today. We will leave no stone unturned. No option will be taken off the table without due consideration.
The new Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar. There hasn't just been change in the Dáil, as you know. There have been changes in Seanad Éireann, Jerry Buttermer becoming the Cathaoirleach, taking over from Mark Daly. And Fianna Fáil's Lisa Chambers takes over as the leader of the Seanad from Regina Doherty. Lisa Chambers is on the line. Good morning, Senator, and thank you indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. There was a lot of aspiration, wasn't there, in the Taoiseach's speech?
There was, and Michael, if you'll allow me just a moment just to say to extend my condolences to Private Sean Rooney's family. I know his body arrived this morning back to Casement Aerodrome in Ballydonald from Beirut. So just to extend my sympathies and condolences to his family and the defence community.
Thank you.
There was a lot of aspiration. But I think when people are listening to a Taoiseach giving his first address, they expect to hear those key issues, those key social issues, being discussed and being highlighted, and they want to hear from the incoming Taoiseach, you know, what are your priorities, what are your plans, and what are you as leader of government going to focus on? So you'd expect the incoming Taoiseach to deal with those issues. And I think it's interesting that he has flagged housing as the number one issue. I would absolutely agree with that. When Micheál Martin was Taoiseach, he identified housing as the top priority for government. And if I recall correctly, I think the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar wasn't sure if that was right to do that in terms of having a top priority. But I do think that there is a unity of purpose now within the coalition that that has to be the top priority. Housing is the biggest issue. It's affecting every part of the country. It's not just a Dublin, Cork, Belfast issue. It is widespread across the country. So I would agree with him that that's the top priority.
He seemed to be saying that the government will do better than it has been doing, that he'll get stuck in alongside Dara O'Brien and we'll see better results. Has Dara O'Brien been good minister, do you think, given the way the country is at the moment, with it unaffordable for so many young people to buy a house, rents at the highest they've ever been, and more people homeless, 3,500 children homeless for Christmas?
Yeah, look, there's massive challenges in housing. And to answer your question directly, I think Dara Bryan has been a good housing minister. The government will exceed their housing targets for this year. That's despite a number of lockdowns in construction in the first part of his tenure. That's despite a war in Europe, massive supply chain issues, of which are affecting not just Ireland, but many other countries as well. So even with those huge challenges that I think any minister would have found difficult, he is still going to exceed targets. But we need to do more. And I think that it's good to see that our coalition partners are full square behind that as well. And there probably was, if I'm being honest about it, I think coming into the government new 2.5 years ago, when we in Fianna Fáil took over the housing brief from Fine Gael, it was Owen Murphy who would have had the brief prior to that. You know, there was probably a little bit of tension in that we had to rewrite the housing plan, and obviously it's a government housing plan now. So I think what you're seeing is this government kind of becoming more settled, embedded in. It's heading in, it's at the halfway time now, halfway point, heading into its second half. And I think you're seeing a greater unity of purpose with all three coalition parties, the Greens, Fine Gael and ourselves as Fianna Fáil, focused on what is the biggest social challenge of our time, and that is housing.
Okay, but I'm sure there will be people wondering, can we have confidence in this set of politicians to deliver on these promises? Because we know that Fianna Fáil campaigned in the last general election to do better in housing than Fine Gael. Now Fine Gael is taking over the role of Taoiseach, and Leo Varadkar in his first speech says Fine Gael will do better than Fianna Fáil did.
Well, that's not what he said, if we're being
fair.
Well,
that's what
it
means.
He
said that the government is going to perform better, didn't he?
Well, I think what he's saying is that the government are making this the top priority, or will continue to have this as the top priority. I genuinely don't think he was trying to undermine Dara Bryan. I think what he was trying to do is show his full support behind Dara Bryan. And when we came into government 2.5 years ago in Fianna Fáil, we purposely sought out what I would consider to be the most difficult portfolios, housing, health and education. And we took them on because they were key priorities for us in the campaign in the last general election. And, you know, since Dara Bryan has taken over as housing minister, we have a whole host of new schemes that are helping people, individuals across the country. I think it's the Croí-Cónaithe scheme, for example, that's allowing people to put money in towards derelict buildings to get old buildings back into use. I think of the first-time buyer scheme, the equity scheme, the shared equity scheme, the cost rental. These are all brand new schemes that have been brought in under Minister Dara Bryan. So I do think he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
And it's almost like trying to turn the Titanic. It's okay. A huge task to turn housing around, but it is happening.
That's fair enough. And I think the Taoiseach did speak very highly of Dara O'Brien, but I do believe people have a lot of questions about the crisis that we continue to be in this country. So a lot of questions as well about climate change. And in his first speeches, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar spoke about how the government is going to do better and he's going to work with Eamon Ryan in all of this. How do you think it'll go down with Fianna Fáil voters reading the Irish Times today, which reports that on Wednesday it's going to become clear how this will be achieved through the Climate Action Plan, and that as part of that plan, it'll involve taking 1 in 5 cars off the road and cutting the national cattle herd by 10%.
Well, I'll deal with two of those issues. I think, first to say, as a party in Fianna Fáil, we are fully committed to the Climate Action Plan. We want to reduce our emissions because we want to make sure that future generations, for my son and everybody else's children, that they have clean air, clean drinking water, access to good food. And these are things we can't take for granted. So the party is fully behind the Climate Action Plan. In terms of transport, the emissions reduction target in transport is huge. It's colossal. It's 75%. The only way we can reduce that is by ensuring good public transport. And if we provide good public transport, people will naturally leave the car at home. And we've already seen that in areas where there's good public transport, particularly in the cities. People choose not to own a car or use it very infrequently where they have options for public transport. So that's the aim of government, and that's where we're focusing on, is providing good bus services, good rail services, so that people choose to leave their cars
at home. And 20% fewer cars by 2030. What about the cattle herd?
Well, on the cattle herd as well, the focus there will not be to force people to reduce their herd, but to do so through incentives. So, you know, there's been a lot of engagement with farming organisations, particularly the IFA and others. And a lot of older farmers are saying to us, you know, we'd be quite happy to reduce our herd by a small bit and play our part as long as we're properly compensated. So I think that's going to be the key.
Right, 10%.
No farmer wants to leave their land. Well, no farmer wants to leave their land untended to. That's the message we get back. But they want to be properly compensated if they are to go down a number of cattle. So I think we will do this through incentives, not through forcing people, and providing alternatives for farmers in terms of, you know, we see the acre scheme, for example, is far more green focused, but it compensates farmers for doing so. So I don't think we need to be scared of this. Change is coming. Change is already here, actually. But there will be huge changes in transport and agriculture over the next decade. But farmers have already stepped up to the plate. And it's not just the agricultural community. The emissions targets there are 25%. Every sector of our economy and our society will have to reduce our emissions. And that's what the Climate Action Plan details. It's not just farming. It's transport, it's industry, it's everybody playing their part. At the moment, we're not on track to meet our targets, so we do need to do more. And I think that's what that speech is acknowledging, that we have to really put our shoulders to the wheel now, excuse the pun, and get those targets down.
Yeah, well, we'll get more details of the action plan on Wednesday, no doubt. We'll leave it there, though, for the moment. And thank you indeed for joining us on the programme today. That's Fianna Fáil Senator Lisa Chambers.
Managing and developing the national electricity grid so that it's fit for our current needs and ready for our future ones.
Yeah, thanks to Pat in Tully Allen, who says it's disgraceful to have a person who has proven to have passed confidential documents out to friends as Taoiseach, and to think that Leo Varadkar will be representing the country. Shame on Fine Gael for allowing this to happen, says Pat. Thank you indeed, Pat. Didn't read all of Pat's message, but there's good reason for that, as I hope you appreciate, Pat. Eamon No Party says, for me, Michael, Varadkar has destroyed Irish culture. What would Fine Gael and Varadkar know about the family struggle to house, rear and feed a family since they went into government? Most Fine Gael people that I know are only for the big shots, the Silver Spoon Brigade, says Eamon of No Party. Paddy Duffy says, how the hell can anyone have confidence in this government to solve housing, health and education when these three parties, along with Labour, caused the problems in the first place? Just more of the same BS, says Paddy. Eric Cuthbert says, letting more people into the country to live while there's a housing crisis is a recipe for disaster. Happy Christmas, Eric says. Thanks for that. Somebody else who is WhatsApping us has a completely different view to Eric, because they say the housing crisis is bad, but think of all of the refugees that are in the country and the situation that they're in, and some of them in worse situations than others. Sheila in Dundalk in touch with us, saying it is inhumane for the government to remove Ukrainian people from the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dundalk. These children are settled in local schools. Why not wait until after Christmas? It all looks like a money racket to me, says Sheila. Well, thank you indeed, Sheila. I'm not sure that that's the case at all, but there is certainly a significant problem for some 50 refugees, more than 50, who will have to go from Dundalk now and make a home in Kerry or Galway or Limerick, as the case may be. Now, our reporter Eamon Doyle was in the Crown Plaza yesterday for us.
It's in the case that there is no room at the inn. I said we have an opportunity here to stall this, because this is not the way to be doing things, particularly in the run into Christmas, and to give us a period time to provide a solution. The fact is, you've a huge amount of people here who have made connections. That's, they're involved in PLC courses, they're involved in college, and they're kids involved in school, and a huge amount of people also that have medical needs.
That's local Sinn Féin TD Rory Murakou, together with Councillor Kevin Meenan, who were speaking to Eamon Doyle for us.
We asked people on the Friday evening to get a letter put through their underneath their door to be told they're out on Monday. Many of these people have connections now in town. They're here a good number of months. Some of them are working. Some of the kids are in school. Some people are there in with disabilities who have hospital appointments coming up with various other agencies. So to expect people just to uproot on a Friday, on a Monday morning with 2 days' notice, to me is shameful.
Now, the bus was due to collect the refugees at 9 o'clock this morning from the Crown Plaza. Before they left, some of the refugees took time out to speak yesterday with Eamon Doyle.
I live in Crown Plaza with my family, my partner and my three kids.
I think it will be in the end of December. It will be 9 months.
9 months.
Yeah.
Your children are settled here. Are they?
Yeah.
Are they going to school here?
Yeah, of course. They are all going to school. My children's 9, 12, and 14 years old. And they were very upset about the situation because now they don't have stability nervous system, you know, because they have a lot of stress last months, and he need more stability for understanding this situation.
For my son Nikita, we waiting appointment of half of a year. It's a 6 months, and when we move, we don't have progress. We started again.
And you only heard about this on Friday. Was there a letter put in your room door?
Just 48 hours with my counseling this decision, and we hope Irish people help us to stay local in lot. Mm-hmm. We hope.
Just before Christmas, it's very difficult. We decorated our rooms.
Yeah, we have four children. We decorate all our rooms and hotel. We bought a little bit lights. We need to happy Christmas to make some celebrate a little bit with Ukrainian people. Our kids pass exams. Oldest son in secondary school. He weighed score, and she's worried about it. And now we can't move. And
it's all
destroyed
everything. And we have tradition. We always celebrate Christmas time. It's part of our family. It's important. But children cannot sleep.
Crying
every time. It's awful Christmas.
Once upon a time, 24 February, we lose all because we all together two big family
and
from Kharkiv.
And again.
Now we lose again. We can't lose everything. Because what we have, it's our children. I have four children, my friends have three children, and we all what we do to have a job, to improve our English, it's all about our kids. We want to integrate in Irish society. I'm a doctor, Yulia is lawyer. Yeah, we want to be useful in Ireland, and we can move. We just only a few months ago started to a little bit plan our life, because everything is destroyed before. All my family, not all, my nephew only stay in Kharkiv now. And I took my mom only 3 weeks ago. And now we seven people all together, all our family with four kids. And in Ukraine we have own private medical school and medical education school and medical center. And in one day we lose all. Our life, our business, our safe, our freedom, and we came to Ireland, and we know now that we haven't idea or thinking about way to return. When we had this news on Friday, my kids all crying. And when we had in this time fire alarm in this hotel, all kids running and crying too. It's we have a huge stress once day in our life. We can't to have a second huge stress, kids.
Yes. Yeah?
If I am alone, I am stay in my city. I am safe. Life, my kids, and it's
very important to me.
The main reason why I stay in here now.
And our thanks to those people who spoke to Eamon Doyle yesterday before moving out of the Crown Plaza in Dundalk.
That has electricity when and where they need it.
Personally disappointed that there's no change in the gender balance of the cabinet. Taoiseach, we do need to see more women in cabinet, especially in a year where we're going to see a gender equality referendum, as we in the Gender Equality Committee have sought. But above all else, we need to see real change and new vision in policies. Instead, what we heard from incoming Taoiseach and indeed from the new Taoiseach and from Minister Ryan was an acknowledgement that this government has failed to deliver. It's failed to deliver on housing, on climate, on addressing the real challenge and scourge of child poverty. What we've seen from this government over the first half of its term has been no shortage of ambitions and plans, and indeed targets, but a chronic lack of delivery, a chronic lack of delivering outcomes. Halfway through the lifetime of this government, of this coalition of convenience, what we're seeing is a government that appears content with serving up only half measures on housing, half measures on climate, half measures on care, and half measures on work. And with today's purely cosmetic changes in cabinet at half time, we do not see any improvement.
Right, that's a lot of half measures, isn't it? And indeed, some very strong criticism of government's performance from the leader of the Labour Party, Vanna Bakic. Let's speak to local Labour Party TD, Jed Nash, who's on the line. And a very good morning to you, and thank you indeed for joining us on the programme today. We'll talk about the politics of the weekend in a moment. But let's begin our conversation this morning by starting with the issue in Dundalk at the Crown Plaza Hotel. As I understand it, a bus was to arrive at 9 o'clock this morning to take people from there, where they've been living since March, to County Kerry, to County Galway and to County Limerick.
That's right, and this has caused huge distress. I was made aware of this move by the department around about midday on Saturday. It was very concerning, Michael. I mean, we're talking here about 45 people who've come from very difficult circumstances. You know, they are fearing that they would be re-traumatised by a move from Dundalk to Limerick, Kerry, Galway in some circumstances. Children, as you know, are in local schools. People are working. Some people are in college. They're embedded now in the community. And people have really received huge support from the network of individuals who are dedicated to supporting them since they arrived last March. So some of the first arrivals fleeing the conflict in Ukraine. And I've been working on this to try to resolve this issue, at least to provide for a stay on this decision for the next couple of weeks until some more sustainable solutions could be organised to allow people to stay in the Louth area. And I've been engaging with the Minister Roderick O'Gorman, since Saturday afternoon. As recently as last night, we engaged again. The decision appeared to be fait accompli at that stage, despite our pleadings for an 11-hour change of heart. Before I came on air, just at 10 o'clock, the Minister has contacted me. He's reflected on this, and he has agreed to put a stay on this decision for the next 2 weeks to allow for the agencies to come together to try to identify longer-term solutions for those who have made Dundalk their home over the last few months. I'm really, really pleased about this. I want to thank the group of people in Dundalk, people like Emily Woodcock and others, who've worked very hard on this over the weekend, people who've supported the refugees since they arrived in March. This is an early Christmas gift, and we need to spend the next two weeks working hard to try to identify the solutions that we think we can identify with Louth County Council, with the Red Cross, with the department itself, with the minister. So I want to thank the minister personally for his intervention here and for responding to our concerns.
They've made the hotel home for themselves since March, and I think that really is wonderful news. I think people will be delighted given the timing of all of this, a couple of weeks out from Christmas, and we heard some of those refugees telling us about how they've decorated their rooms with Christmas decorations and lights, and really wonderful news for the children in particular at this time, but for everybody for all sorts of reasons.
Very, very moving, and this time of year is the time for the possible. It is the season of goodwill, and that's not a cliche. I'm glad that the minister has reflected on this.
What was the reason for moving them out?
The reason for moving them out, I was told up until late last night, was that all of the space that is available to the state for international protection applicants is under pressure. We know that. This is an unprecedented set of circumstances. We have 50,000 people from Ukraine in the state at this point in time. People.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fleeing conflict and coming to Ireland for a range of different reasons, fleeing persecution and so on, who are applying for refugee status. In any case, in the normal course of events, this happens in every state across the world, and that's our international obligation to consider those applications. So I've been told up until late last night that every room available is required, you know, in anticipation of more people coming over the next few weeks, and at a time as well when it's very difficult for accommodation to be secured. So obviously the Department of the Minister reflected on that overnight. I got that phone call at 10 o'clock to say, look, understand the situation the people in Dundalk are in.
But why do they I still don't understand. I'm sorry to cut across you, but I've wondered this sort of all night. Did the contract with the Crown Plaza end, or why were they being moved out of there?
Yeah, I can only surmise that the kind of accommodation that people were being moved into in other parts of the country may have been more permanent in nature.
Right. Okay.
The department sees hotel rooms as temporary.
Yeah, and so they should. Yeah, but absolutely. I'm sure this decision wasn't made on Friday, and if it was a case that the contract was about to run out, you'd have had plenty of time to notify people. It seemed completely unacceptable that people were given such short notice.
I don't know the nature of the contract with the hotel, but
whatever the reason, it's impossible to understand why such short notice was given to people.
Well, that's right, and I got the sense that this was sort of short-term managerialism and bureaucracy at its very worst. People deciding that they wanted to clear their desk before Christmas, and I hope this doesn't sound cold-hearted, because you know, public and civil servants and everybody involved in these decisions have to take and do take a humane and compassionate approach. We have to put ourselves in the shoes of the people who these decisions affect. But it seemed to me that to be a form of a desk clearing exercise.
Okay, well, there's a stay now for 2 weeks, as you say, and it really is wonderful news, especially for the children, but for everybody there, absolutely.
Absolutely, it's quite moving, Michael, and I'm just delighted that this decision has been taken, and I want to thank the Minister for it. I mean, he showed some considerable compassion and humanity, and that's to his credit.
Okay. Well, the new Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, was talking about how we welcome Ukrainian refugees and others into the country, and I thought it was a bad start to his tenure as Taoiseach, given the positive statements that he made over the weekend. The Taoiseach was also speaking about policing. Maybe I can ask you about policing. We heard your party leader there a few moments ago very critical of the government's performance to date, not appearing to have much confidence in how they'll perform for the second half of this term of government. But can I ask you about policing? Because I think a lot of us just went, oh no, when we heard about another petrol bomb in Drogheda this morning. Four people in hospital. We don't know the motivation or whatever, but quite often these things are drug related, and I guess the fear that people would have is that this is starting up again. There was another petrol bomb in Nuns Walk only a couple of weeks ago, and as I understand it, that's a house that's been targeted many times in the past. Been plenty of petrol bombs at that. I think there were gunshots through the window of that house at one stage, and I think that there were people locally saying that they weren't too surprised that it was being hit again because of the past history. But is this the beginning of that old feud starting to raise its head again?
I I certainly hope not for the people of Drogheda. Would hope not. I mean, the last engagement I had with the chief superintendent and the superintendent was at the last local joint policing committee meeting in Millmount a few weeks ago, and Gardaí were confident that they had a handle on this. But these things always have long tails, Michael, and could very well be the case that what we're seeing here is part of that. It's the shaking out and the shaking down of years of resentment and rivalry, and this may be a more localised matter. I don't know. I'm only speculating. But I would be confident that given the resources that the Gardaí have deployed against gang crime and the feud in Drogheda, and what's been done by the community in terms of the implementation board and so on, that you know, we are through the worst of this. And there may still be personality clashes, there may still be those kinds of rivalries. This is no way to settle your score. You're putting people who aren't involved in danger, and it shine the light as well on our town, our great town, a town that has seen improvements, a town that will improve over the next period of time as well. And lessons have been learned about how these things were handled in the past. And I know I'll be confident that Garda Síochána will get to the bottom of this and hopefully identify those who are responsible, and action will be taken. Any sort of sense that the feud is back, or any sense that any form of activity like this will be tolerated, just has to be nipped in the bud. I mean, it won't be. The guards will get on top of this. I can speak to the superintendent later on today to get his assessment of it. I don't think we can be too afraid, given what we know, that the fundamentals of this appear to have been resolved by the criminal justice and policing response. Many of those who were, if I can describe them as senior in these operations, are they're not here, or they're no longer in action for a range of different reasons. So let's see. We keep a watching brief on this. But nobody wants to see this happen in our town, and I hope this is an isolated event.
Let's hope so. Okay, I've run out of time at this stage, but thank you for your time, and indeed thank you for joining us on the programme as always. That's Labour's spokesperson on finance, Jed Nash, who's a TD for Louth and East Meath.
Call Michael now, 041 98 3 2000.
The Michael Reid Show, brought to you by Airgrid, managing and planning the national grid so that everyone has electricity when and where they need it.
The changeover of Taoiseach, the swapping of ministerial office, won't change anything, really. 100 years ago, a great Republican leader by the name of Liam Mellows said, "Men who get into positions and hold power will desire to remain undisturbed, and will not want to be removed, or will not take a step that will mean removal in case of failure." Liam Mellows was right. The man sitting at the Taoiseach's office is changing, but there will be no change in policy, no change in direction, no change in delivery. Indeed, your first act as Taoiseach now is to reappoint ministers who have failed to get the job done. You reward incompetence. You reward failure. So the truth is this: we need a change of government, not just a change of Taoiseach.
Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald speaking on the election of Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach. She was scathing of the government's performance and offered a solution.
So much has changed in the last 3 years. So much has changed in the last 3 years. So if you, Taoiseach, are so confident that your government and your policies command the support of the people, then you should give them this choice in a general election. Let the people have their say, and let the people choose who leads.
The Sinn Féin party whip in the Dáil, Pádraic McLoughlin, joins us now. Good morning to you, and thank you indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. Does Sinn Féin really want an election?
Yes, absolutely, because, you know, all of us who are TDs or councillors in our communities can see the impact of this government, particularly in the area of housing and health. And what we didn't need was a damp squib sort of change in of the seats at the table. What we need is the people to have their say, and we need a fresh government, and we're very eager to give people the change that they need in their lives.
Now, sure, it's not a case of careful what you wish for, because the government has been performing well in recent polls, hasn't it?
Well, I'm not so sure Fianna Fáil have been performing very well. They're well below the outcome of the 2020 election in poll after poll. Fine Gael are down from their result in 2020, so collectively they're not going well.
Well, they didn't go well in the last election either, but they managed to form a government.
Yeah, well, they're going worse now than even the last general election. And, you know, I think if you look at the decision around keeping the Minister for Housing and the Minister for Health, keeping pretty much every minister, they obviously think they're doing a good job. And, like, I have to say to you, and I no doubt, Michael, you're talking to people in your lives every day, but, I mean, what I'm hearing every day is a growing frustration, a growing anger, particularly, as I say, in the area of housing and in the area of health. We have a situation now where young people are emigrating from Ireland, not because they don't have a job, but because they can't put a roof over their head. They don't see a future for them in this country, and that's a social disaster. We can't get teachers and nurses to locate to many places around the country because they can't afford to stay there. They can't afford to build a life. So that is the outcome of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael now, pretty much together since 2016, from Confidence and Supply through to this government. So we need a change dramatically, and we're ready for it.
All right. We need a constitutional change as well, I think Sinn Féin would argue. And you're calling for a citizens' assembly or something in terms of planning for a referendum on the border.
Yeah, I mean, we need to prepare responsibly for, you know, what is coming. I mean, we can see the demographic situation in the north now where, you know, you do not have a unionist majority in any walk of life. So if you look at the Assembly, the majority of MLAs do not designate as unionist. If you look at the MPs in Westminster, majority of them do not designate as unionist. In the recent census in the North, I think it was 60%, do not regard themselves as British. So it's clear the direction we're going in, but it would be reckless to go to a referendum without preparing, you know, the issues like what type of health service will we have in a new Ireland? What type of education system? What type of economy? These are all issues we need to grapple with. So I think it's common sense to have a citizens' assembly established now.
All right. Is it a case of careful what you wish for again, I wonder, because there isn't a hope in hell, according to the latest polls on this in the Irish Times, that the vote would be won.
Well, there's been numerous polls, Michael, over the last number of years, and, you know, a number of them are much closer in terms of the outcome. I mean, for me, I can see the demographics. We can see the way this is going. What we say in Sinn Féin is we need to be ready for a referendum by the end of this decade, so moving towards 2030. And we need to, you know, we had our, you know, Ireland's Future event in the Three Arena. That was, you know, most of the political parties in the island were there. And I think that's, you know, if you look at what happened with a Brexit referendum in Britain, they just didn't prepare for it. You know, David Cameron just assumed he would win that referendum. Of course, they lost narrowly. And that's, you know, pushed the British into a crisis that is still ongoing. You've seen the absolute, you know, omni-shambles of the Tory party and the changes of Prime Minister this year. So we need to not make that mistake. We need to get things right. And I do believe when we come to a referendum, I'm confident that we can win. But I want to win it through hearts and minds, through the strength of our arguments when the time comes.
Okay, but if 79% of Protestants, as this poll was carried out, want to stay in the UK, and only 4% would support a united Ireland, is there really any hope?
Well, I think there's a significant section of people who come from a traditional unionist background who have been, particularly younger people, who have been voting for the Alliance Party. I mean, they got a very good outcome at the last Assembly elections. They seem to be an emerging third political force in politics in the north of Ireland. And to me, that is probably the battleground, that they are people who want to be in the European Union. They like the progressive social model that we have in the rest of the island, thanks to various referendums like marriage equality, the abortion referendum, and so on. So
I take it those people were covered, though, by this poll, given the way they polled people in categories of Protestants and Catholics. 55% of the Catholics would favour a united Ireland, which is only a slim majority, really. But when you've got 79% of Protestants who want to stay in the UK and only 4% who would support a united Ireland, you've got a real problem there, don't you? I mean, is it a majority of one, or would you not have to bring the majority of Protestants, if you like, or traditional loyalists with you if you're going to go down that road?
No, I think we have to be realistic. I mean, there's a very significant section of unionism that will never support United Ireland. And indeed in Scotland, the very significant section of the Scottish that will never support Scottish independence. But, you know, we're in a democracy, and when we get to the point where there's a majority of people, then, you know, the constitutional position changes. I am confident. Now, that's, remember, this poll in the Irish Times is one poll. Mm. There's been many polls over recent years that would show a much closer outcome. But what we're talking about is not having a referendum tomorrow. We're saying by the end of this decade. So, you know, it's a good number of years away. But what we need to prepare. And what really astonishes me is that you have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who both state that they want to see a united Ireland, but they're not willing to make the case for it. They're not willing to carry out research into it. They don't want to look at what type of health system we're going to have, what type of education system, what does it look like. Like, all we're asking for is Sinn Féin, I think, is entirely reasonable, that you responsibly prepare, that you answer the questions that people have as best you have before you put the question. That's all we're saying.
Okay, and what do you think of the Shared Island initiative? Because there was a lot of praise from a lot of deputies as the Taoiseach, outgoing Taoiseach, was resigning for the work that Micheál Martin did on the Shared Island initiative.
I mean, I think the problem, you know, in terms of Micheál Martin is while he would regard himself and describe himself as Republican and somebody who's in favour of United Ireland, it's really, really snail's pace. Like, it's 25 years since the Good Friday Agreement almost. You know, we've been sharing the island for all of that period. We've been involved in reconciliation for all of that period. 25 years, you know, more than a generation. So now it's time to take the next steps. And I just feel there's a lack of ambition with Micheál Martin, a lack of confidence in what he describes as his own Republican perspective. And, you know, I'm up for the challenge. I'm very excited about what a new Ireland would look like. And by the way, it's not the one we have now. It's not the same health system. It cannot be. It's failed us on both sides, both parts of the island. You know, I want to see what a new economy, new education system looks like. I just think there's huge opportunities. You know, disability services, community services, mental health services. This debate is about how we reimagine our country, how we build a country that fits the vision of those who, you know, who fought for it in 1916 and in the War of Independence. They were very visionary people. You know, if you read the proclamation, read the programme of the First Dáil, these were people who had a real sense of our place in the world. And while this is a great country, a really great country, I don't think we've reached our full potential at all.
Okay, and with that, you'd expect a Taoiseach for 32 counties. Mary Lou MacDonald, your party president, hopes to be the next Taoiseach for 26 counties, but it'll be the government that decides when the next election is. And despite all the criticism that Sinn Féin has of the government's performance in office, it really has a vast majority, and that was evident in the scale of how the government won the votes over the weekend.
Well, there's no doubt that the government, with the support of a good number of independents who are from the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael gene pool, that they have a solid majority in the Dáil. But I just want to say to people out there who, you know, are very angry, particularly about the housing crisis, the housing emergency, and the health service crisis and emergency, that's we will get there. You know, we will continue to be a robust opposition, and we will get to the point where the next election comes. And I believe that Sinn Féin can lead the next government. So I'm just saying to people, don't lose hope. They have messed around with a couple of positions. They clearly believe they're doing a good job, and I think they'll get their answer at the next election.
All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you indeed for joining us this morning. Much appreciated. That is the Sinn Féin party whip in the Dáil, Padraig McLaughlin, TD.
michael@lmfm.ie.
The Michael Reid Show with Airgrid, managing and developing the national electricity grid so that it's fit for our current needs and ready for our future ones.
The 100th anniversary of Ireland joining the League of Nations and finally taking her place among the nations of the world. It was the fulfilment of a dream that inspired generations of patriots and marks a fitting end to the decade of centenaries. The final Secretary General of the League of Nations was an Irishman, a diplomat by the name of Sean Lester. A courageous friend of refugees, Lester should inspire us to show courage and initiative in how we welcome refugees today. We're living through a time of great conflict and crisis, where the brutal aggression of a world power against its smaller neighbour has made history itself pause in uncertainty. We promised the people of Ukraine that we would stand with them when it was easy to make such promises. Today we renew the promise and tell the people of Ukraine that we will stand with them even when it's very hard.
That's our new Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, speaking on Saturday when he assumed his new office. Let's speak to local TD for Louth and East Meath, Fergus O'Dowd, who's on the line. And a very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us on the programme. We might talk about the refugees in a moment, but I'm sure to begin with, you're delighted to see the boss back in the big job.
Well, I think it's important that the government continues. And clearly, at the very beginning, it's for an equal partnership in terms almost of numbers between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and the Green Party, obviously, clearly very much a part as well. So changing the Taoiseach is never a simple thing, and there was a due process. And I think it's gone very well. And I think that the three parties in government, I believe, are working very well together, but we have to work a lot harder. And I think that's the message that Leo was saying there. We have to work a lot harder, particularly on housing, on health, and obviously, taming inflation and so on. So there's lots of important critical issues must be dealt with. So there's nobody sitting back, in any chair, not giving it their best after this reshuffle.
Yeah, well, it was an inspirational speech of sorts in that it was very aspirational. And it was good, I thought, to see a Taoiseach expressing such aspiration. But in doing so, he said about how poor the government has been performing thus far, did he not? He mentioned housing, he mentioned inflation, he mentioned making this a good country for children to grow up. He mentioned dealing with the shortage of energy, he mentioned policing, he mentioned rural Ireland, he mentioned the Good Friday Agreement, he mentioned the health service, and was saying we need to do better in all of these areas.
Absolutely, we must, and that's what a government is there to do, is to deal with the issues of the day, just as it dealt with COVID. I think, thankfully, it's behind us now, but there are issues remaining that we have to deal with and lessons to be learned. The government has dealt very well with Brexit, and we dealt with that. We're dealing with the protocol. We've improved very much our relationship with the European Union and our relationship with the United States and with the new Prime Minister, with President Biden. There's a Kennedy will be in Dublin again shortly, representing the United States government. So there's a lot of good things. Excellent work has been done, but we must concentrate on the issues that are worrying people. And employment, obviously, is one which we've been very successful. 83,000 new jobs this year alone, 2.5 million people working. But we still need to do a lot more, and that's what the people, are right to say, that we have to do more. And that's what the Taoiseach was saying, and I fully agree with that.
Okay. It did seem a little bit odd to be listening to the Taoiseach talk about that solidarity with people from Ukraine on Saturday, when we now know that on Friday they were told they'll be leaving the Crown Plaza in Dundalk to go to Kerry, Galway and Limerick. The news has come this morning that a 2 week stay will be put on that, and they'll be able to stay for Christmas, which I'm sure you, like all of us, will welcome for the people involved. But it did seem very shoddy, did it not?
It is, of course, Michael. It is, of course. And it's also entirely unacceptable that families who've been there for months, who have children in school, who have friends, who are building a new community, notwithstanding the fact that they're in a hotel, which is not, you know, any, you know, a home is much more appropriate to a hotel to live in, particularly with children. It is wrong, and it's absolutely unacceptable. And I've been in touch with the minister's office this morning about this. I mean, if people are in a location, no matter where it is, you know, I don't see why they can't be kept there until they find permanent or better accommodation locally. So I don't know why, because it's a Monday, obviously, and this all happened over the weekend and just before Christmas, it's the worst possible time to make that decision. And I think it's absolutely wrong. And
so you believe that they should have the option of staying in Dundalk?
I think they should if they can, yes, absolutely. But I think once you're in place, you should never, I mean, particularly with children, it's one thing to move adults around, but to move children who would have friends and companions and being integrated into a community, being welcomed into a community, being part of all the little friendly groups that they're in, you know, it's very distressing for them coming as they are from a war zone. So I don't know why all this happened or why it happened at this time. But like we were going to find out, obviously. But today I can tell you that I am most unhappy with it. I'm in touch with the minister's office, and I think it's a wrong decision. And it's a wrong decision no matter where those people would be. And then to send them, you know, there's nothing wrong with Kerry. I go there myself very often.
I know, but it's a million like, miles away for these people.
It is. From all their contacts, from all their friends, all their communities, all their sports clubs, or whatever they're involved in.
No notice. I mean, that was one of the worst parts of it. They've Christmas decorations and Christmas lights up in their rooms, and the children are looking forward to Christmas.
It's not acceptable. It is not acceptable, and that's my strong view on it. But I'll get to the bottom of this, but at least during the stay of time that there is now, we have an opportunity to, you know, to make sure that this never happens again.
Okay, well, there is that time, as you say. Were you surprised by Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, on Saturday calling for a general election? Do you think Sinn Féin would win a general election, or do you think the government parties could do it again?
Well, I think, first of all, Michael, there is no general election, and what this government is about is stability and continuity of policy, keeping people in employment, dealing with inflation, dealing with housing. You know, and I mean, to have an election now when there is a mandate of two more years to run, while obviously everybody in the opposition, they mightn't all welcome it, like it's a natural thing for them to say, and I wouldn't expect them not to say it. But the fact is, like, we have a surplus of 12 billion in our economy now, even though we're heading into a very serious recession worldwide. And I think, you know, financial stability is what the country wants, and that's, and continuity. But clearly, Sinn Féin are the major opposition party, and they'll articulate their point of view. But there isn't going to be an election. The government had a majority, I think, of 26, which was huge, really. A lot of those who attack us every day, they weren't even in the Dáil. They didn't even turn up to vote. Some fellow, one of them was at a tractor competition down in Limerick somewhere. I mean, that's where he exercised his franchise. You know, yet he's one of our biggest critics. So, you know, let's be serious about politics and about the economy and just stability, really, and continuity.
Okay. So that, while you're with us, I want to talk to you about policing, if you like, but also this very serious petrol bomb attack on a house in Scarlet Crescent last night. Four people had to be taken to hospital. It obviously was very, very sinister stuff, and comes a couple of weeks on the back of another petrol bomb attack that took place at Nuns Walk in the town. I'm sure, like all of us, you thought to yourself, not this stuff again.
Well, I mean, it's really appalling to hear that. And obviously the people who have been injured, you know, it's a hugely awful place, you know, that an awful place to be in hospital at Christmas when you should be with your family. So please God, they will make a full recovery. I think, obviously, the Gardaí are very much alert and have been extremely active. The transformation of, you know, the Garda, I suppose, apprehending both criminals bringing them before the courts, and also, you know, the number of Gardaí and so on in our town has significantly increased. But you can never sit down on this. You can never sit back. You know, eternal action, it brings the peace. So the Gardaí are extremely active, and obviously I'll be in contact with Superintendent Waters after this programme, but to encourage them to continue their work. And indeed, our Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, has visited the town many times, has been into areas where the highest, you know, problems have been in terms of drug abuse and deprivation and so on. And it's a key issue. The government have decided that applications from Drogheda for community and other supports to each department is prioritised. So, and I'm not saying we're doing enough. We have to continue to work extremely hard. But the Gardaí, no doubt, hopefully, would be successful and apprehend the people who carried out this appalling evil act, you know, which is entirely...
It is a worry, though, isn't it?
It is a worry, Michael. Of course it is, yeah.
Like everybody in the area knows too well, unfortunately, to our detriment because of, I suppose, the anxiety and fear that all of this caused before, but that it started, if you like, with petrol bomb attacks and escalated from there, and it was all being motivated by the drugs trade or a turf war over the drugs trade. And just when you see a couple of attacks like this within a couple of weeks of each other, you can't help but think, God, I hope it's not starting up again.
Of course, Michael, I agree. Nobody wants that to happen, and every action will and must be taken. I have every confidence in the Gardaí, absolutely every confidence in them. But it is a problem, and it's a very serious problem, and that's why Drogheda has had the Geerdon report. That's why there's huge investment in the community and in young people, and we must continue that. But all I can say, if anybody has any information at all, they should give it to the Gardaí immediately, and I know they will always deal with any information like that in total confidence. But we don't, you know, we want these criminals apprehended and put behind bars. And please God, that will happen and happen very quickly, Michael. Okay. But I will be on to Helen McEntee's office as well about this, and I know she's very much aware. Well,
Simon Harris now is the case, everything. Maybe. Yeah. I say Simon Harris now is the case, maybe.
Yeah, sorry, yes, Helen is, I mean, she's a local TD as well, and I know she's probably listening to your show, Michael, I communicate through Fear Kelly, who I presume is working with. Simon has only taken up that role since Friday. He said to me on the steps of the Dáil as he was going down to cast his vote that he'd be back in Drogheda soon afterwards, he said to me. So I would hope and expect him to come in soon as well, because he will be hands-on. But Helen as well, and I appreciate
very
the
good.
Question.
Yeah, no, very good. I know that you're scheduled to talk to us again on Wednesday on a completely separate issue. Are you hoping to get any other calls on Wednesday?
Well, Sarah and Dale. So, oh my God. Look, come here, Michael. Everybody wants a call, but there's very few seats to sit on. I'm happier to be going on Michael Reid than I would be facing the National League. Certainly before Christmas.
Very good.
We've had some great spars, Michael, and I look forward to tomorrow, whether I'm a minister or not.
Yeah.
It won't matter. We'll still have a good round.
I'm sure we will.
So, look, I hope I get a call. Of course I do. But, you know, I don't see my name in the headlines at the moment, but you never know.
Okay. All right. Well, the Taoiseach will announce the ministers of state on Wednesday, and we'll see if you're in that lineup on Wednesday, obviously. But thank you indeed for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Fine Gael TD for Louth and East Meath, Fergus O'Dowd.
Call Michael now, 041 98 3 2000.
For our current needs and ready for our future ones.
Yeah, thanks to Cecilia in Dundalk, who is delighted that decision to move the Ukrainians out of the Crown Plaza has been reversed, at least temporarily, a stay put on that decision for 2 weeks. Cecilia says the poor children who were going to school this week to meet Santa, what were they thinking about moving them on during Christmas week? I think a lot of people felt like that, Cecilia, and I think a lot of people will be relieved that there's this 2 week time frame, which will give them the chance to enjoy Christmas in the place that they've called or come to call home since March of this year, and hopefully something will happen over the 2 weeks that will make the decision more acceptable to the people who have set down so many roots in Dundalk. Aidan in RD was in touch with us. Thanks for your call, Aidan. He says Eamon Ryan hasn't got a clue. He doesn't know what he's talking about when he talks about cutting emissions. I think the minister might argue that point, Aidan. He says, what about the power plant in County Clare that he reopened? He's very opposed to that, obviously. And he says that some of the heating systems in new houses is unbearable. Too hot, I think, is the problem. Unbearable to live in, very unhealthy. He says, Aidan, that is, says, I live in Ferdia Park and these houses are too small for the amount of heat that the system is set at. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Aidan, and indeed to everybody who's been in touch with us. Now, we have a new Taoiseach. As I said earlier on, his speech really was aspirational, and we'll hear some of the aspiration. Here's what the new Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, had to say about housing.
Housing for All is a comprehensive plan, and working with Minister Dara O'Brien, I'll do all that I can to drive it forward. We need to clear bottlenecks, to turn the tens of thousands of unactivated planning permissions into new homes over the next 2 years. We need to dramatically reduce dereliction and bring down rents in real terms.
Okay, and so the biggest challenge, some would say, is inflation. The cost of living, which is crippling so many people. The price of everything is only going in one direction, but the Taoiseach has hopes, at least.
The second is taming inflation and bringing the cost of living under control. In the months ahead, we'll assess the challenges facing our citizens, whether to do with the cost of energy, childcare, education, rent or healthcare. And we'll also take account of price developments and adjust our policies accordingly.
Right, that's two of the ambitions that the Taoiseach spelled out in the Dáil on Saturday.
The third part of our collective mission must be ensuring the best start in life for every child. As I outlined earlier, our focus must be on reducing child poverty and improving well-being. Our vision is to make Ireland the best country in which to be a child. We have to give everyone the best start in life, empowering them to make the most of that start through education, through equal opportunities, good jobs, to a better future. As a government, our energy and ideas will be used to improve access to therapies and provide more special needs education. And so I'll put in place a new unit in the Department of the Taoiseach to coordinate this approach, working closely with Ministers O'Gorman, Foley, Humphreys, Harris, Donnelly, among others.
That's the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, speaking in the Dáil on Saturday. Some of the aspirations that he said he wants to achieve as the leader of the country over the next couple of years. That's where we leave you for today. That's our programme. God willing, we'll see you for our next programme tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. right here on LMFM. Good morning. Bye-bye.
The Michael Reid Show, brought to you by Airgrid, managing and planning the national grid so that everyone has electricity when and where they need it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.